Hey everyone, welcome back to the Late Late Show. I'm your host Matt, founder of Lakers UK, and as always, I'm joined by Jonathan Kernan. How are you doing today, mate?
Yeah, all good today. Nice rainy day in Ireland, so yeah, all good here.
Yeah, it's also raining here as well. I've come back home for the week, which has been very pleasant. Obviously, after things like COVID and everything that's going on in the world, I've started to appreciate coming home a lot more. Weather's been a lot better for us today. We managed to get out earlier, but it has been raining all evening as we're recording right now. It is tipping it down. So I feel like it's just normal order as resumed.
Absolutely.
So since we last spoke, it's been a whirlwind. So obviously the Lakers beat the Warriors. Brilliant win. Absolutely brilliant win. Really impressed with that one when I watched it back. And then we were like, yes, let's get some momentum. Let's build from this. And then they go and lose to the Spurs and the Rockets. The Rockets in overtime. And then everything just fell apart. Completely fell apart. So just as we got some hope, it was all ripped away. At the time of recording, we're just going into the Wizards game, which is in the early hours of tomorrow morning. So obviously by the time this airs, there'll be the result of that as well, which is hopefully a win, but I imagine the result of that won't change the mood too much around Lakers Nation. So I do want to just, before we like jump into the main, you know, nuts and bolts of this episode, what's kind of your thoughts about the Lakers at the moment? It was, like I said, we all got some hope. We all thought that they'd really kick on after that Warriors win, and it's just got worse, hasn't it?
Worse is an understatement. I did not think we could get any worse, and then we lose to the Rockets, the bottom feeding Rockets. Yeah. Like, it's just at this stage, it's just an embarrassment, and the lack of effort that's being put forth by so much of the team is ridiculous. Like, it seems like they only want to pay attention on offensive end, and then when defensive end, they just fall asleep altogether. So yeah, it's the best words I can use are piss poor. Like, piss poor is the effort, piss poor is the play, piss poor is the coaching. It's just not good enough. It's simply hasn't been good enough all season, but even now we're finding new ways to be even worse. And it's kind of, it's like, it's bad. It's very bad. And I think it doesn't look like it's going to get much better.
Yeah, I think there's been a lot of questionable coaching decisions. There's been a lot of just a lack of change. There hasn't been any adapting from the coaches, from the players. You know, it's just kind of the same old, same old. They just seem to, I was going to say run the same plays, but when they're out there, it really doesn't look like they're running any plays. You know, when you see a lot of the plays just result in the shot clock absolutely burning down to the last 5 seconds, and then it's just panic stations.
Oh, it's an absolute T. It just, I think they've stopped listening to Coach Frank Vogel. I think his time there is done. I think with the Lakers, what they realize is that there's no in-season fix. I don't think they want to hand over the reins to David Fizdale to be an interim man coach for the rest of the season, because again, he's, in my opinion, he's simply not good enough of a head coach. He hasn't proved himself previously, and I don't think they react to him much now. But yeah, it's just an actual embarrassment at this stage. Like, the ball movement is terrible. They can't really, there's no real kind of, outside of LeBron and probably at this stage Malik Monk, there's no consistent scores on a game-to-game basis. Just fractured. That's the best word you can possibly use for this Lakers roster from top to bottom. It's just fractured. And at this stage, it's beyond repair.
Yeah, there's a lack of effort and a lack of passion. And that is the worst, because I see a lot of people being like, oh, well, like, obviously not speaking to me, but speaking about like Laker Nation as a whole, or like, you weren't around for the tanking years then. And it's like, yeah, but like, we expected the losing in the tanking years. If anything, we were urging the team to lose in the tanking years to get obviously good draft picks. So I don't think I think this is more disappointing than the tanking years, because there was so much expectation. There's no reason for the team to be this bad. And there isn't, I mean, there just isn't a reason why they're doing so bad, to be honest. I can't think why they're performing this bad. There's a lack of energy, a lack of passion. They just don't care. Obviously, the coaching and all of that comes into play. I believe there's just a lack of talent on the roster as well, to be honest with you, because the likes of Ariza are obviously pretty washed at this point. Avery Bradley obviously isn't what he was back in 2020. And then when you go down the roster, especially when you don't have AD in the team, you know, I just do think that there is just, I just don't think it's a good team, you know, not even in terms of construction, but just in terms of talent, to be honest.
No, I definitely agree with you there. I think outside of LeBron, there's no consistent performers apart from maybe Malik Monk. Like, but there's no, like, you have one high-end performer and then you have a bunch of mid-tier performers. Again, to win games on a consistent basis, you're going to need to have like maybe one, maybe two stars. Because this is like, the NBA is a competitive league. Every team has like very, very good players. And again, like you've mentioned earlier on, if there's no effort there, and like, if you haven't got the talent and you haven't got the effort, then what have you got? Like, you can't just over rely on LeBron James to drag you to a win each and every game. Like, he did that with the Golden State Warriors. He willed them to the win. Like, I think he was 56 points or 50 something points in that game. Like, he willed the Lakers to that win. But you can't expect him to do that every single night. You need other performers to stand up and make themselves heard. And it just hasn't happened. Yeah, it's a fractured roster. It's a bunch of individuals rather than a team players. It's a bunch of older veterans who, at this stage of their career, are more focused on the playoffs rather than giving effort throughout the regular season. There's different players across the roster who are younger, who should be getting more game time and who actually put forward effort, but they still give the time to the veterans simply because they're like, oh, they're tried and trusted. They know they'll potentially finish the game out strongly. That's not the case anymore. It's not working. You need to try something else. And Frank Vogel and the Lakers have just shown an inability to do anything else different.
Yeah. And it's interesting because obviously it does make sense to carry on this conversation. But what we're going to do is we're going to just go off on a little bit of a tangent and then we're going to come back. Before we do, because it's not really going to be relevant later, I just want to give a shout out to Austin Reeves. I've been following his performances over the past few games very closely, and I've been very, very impressed with his offensive output. Obviously, in the past three games, again, the Wizards game would have happened by the time this comes out, but he's put out 10 points, 13 points, 17 points. Obviously, we know what he brings defensively, but it's very nice to see him clicking on the offensive end at the moment.
Yeah, Austin Reeves has been like, there always seems to be like one player per season who just shows up for the Lakers and he becomes a fan favorite. It's always for a couple of years. It was Alex Caruso who just endeared himself so highly to the Lakers nation. And I think Austin Reeves is that guy this season. Like, he's truly showed up in a big and bad way. And he's developed as the season has gone on. Like he was always an effort guy on defense. And that was very kind of evident from the get-go. Well, I think his offensive game has come on leaps and bounds also. And I really think he's developing really nicely alongside the likes of LeBron. And I think he has the trust of guys like LeBron at this stage. And that's a really important thing to have as a rookie. I think I will not say the sky's the limit for him. Like, he is potentially limited. But I think the Lakers should be proud with the level of production they've gotten out of him so far.
Yeah, definitely. He's been a great role player. So what we'll do is we'll get on to kind of the main talking point, really, which is not an enjoyable thing to talk about. I think that's quite obvious at this stage, but we are going to talk about, because me and Jonathan do have certain points of view on this. I don't fully know Jonathan's point of view, so obviously it'll be a like full point of view, so it'll be an interesting discussion, hopefully an open, honest discussion. But it falls around Russell Westbrook. He's been receiving a lot of criticism. I was going to say as of late, but all season long, he's been receiving a lot of criticism. Ever since the summer when the move was made, the criticism was there. And that, to be honest, that criticism has followed him throughout his career, which is the comments he made post-game recently. But it also became apparent that his family had received threats and his wife came into the fold and it got very messy and things like that. So we're just going to go through this a little bit because it's not nice to hear. You know, we heard when KCP was with the Lakers, certain, I was going to say fans, but quote unquote fans, they're not really fans, are they? Threatened his family. Danny Green and his fiance had threats. You know, it seems to have just followed on to Russell Westbrook in that regard. Yeah, what are your thoughts on all of that? It was, I can't remember what day it was. I think it was Thursday, it was not a great day to be on social media. All the headlines, all the clips. Yeah, it was a very dark day that kind of took everything away from the court, you know, and it got very personal, followed by Russell Westbrook addressing it himself. So, yeah, I'm just going to hand you the floor, mate.
I think it's, for me, it's quite simple. There's things you say, you can say in terms of critiquing the person's level of play, and there's things you can't say, whether it be their religion, their family, their sexuality.
There's personal certain, attack.
Yeah, personal attacks. It's, to me, it should be as simple as that. But when it comes to someone's family, that is completely and utterly off limits. Again, like, this man at the end of the day is a human being. Before, like, we put all these players on pedestals, and they have them be like deities and gods. They're not. They're just normal people who have God-given talents, and they've worked their hardest to get to where they are in life now. Russell Westbrook has been an excellent player in the NBA for many, many years. And again, he's not playing his best basketball at the moment. He's playing probably his worst basketball of his career. But again, focus on his on-the-floor missteps. Don't be focusing on his family or threatening his family. You're not a fan. You're a bully. And like, he has every right to stick up for himself and to say, listen, that's completely off limits. Like, that is completely and utterly wrong. Stay away from the family. Stay away from any personal attacks when it involves his family, his children, death threats. That's just disgraceful. But yeah, that's my opinion.
Yeah. There's a line. Attacking their family, a player's family, goes verbally, you know. It goes way beyond that line. You know, it completely blows past that line. It's not acceptable. No way is it acceptable. Affecting someone mentally crosses the line. So when the criticism is so intense that Russ is practically looks a broken man, it crosses the line as well. But I do want to, is it playing devil's advocate? I'm not sure. So there's a Substack newsletter that I read. Harrison Fagan of Silkscreen and Roll shared it onto my timeline, and I was able to see it from there. And it's from Tom Ziller. And it was a very interesting piece that was very much what I was thinking, but I didn't know how to put it in words because it's quite difficult to, you know, it's just quite difficult to express. And when I was listening to Russ, obviously all season long, he's been critiqued. And again, before I go any further, I do want to say that there's a line going after the families across the line, you know, affecting his mental health across the line, things like that. But to me, they're two separate things. So when he went off in the post-game press conference, he spoke about Westbrook not being called Westbrook. And he seemed to have put that in the same realm as the attack on his family, when they're two separate things, in my opinion. Again, you know, I'm playing devil's advocate here. So, like, you know, I fully sympathize for him. I'm not saying that, you know, it's not relevant what happened. But I think there's also a line between criticism of his performances on the court to a degree and, you know, the personal attacks. But in terms of the criticisms on the court, he has been performing very bad. And I feel that he just doesn't accept any type of criticism. Do you know what I mean? So in post-game press conferences, he's been completely shutting people down. You know, he's been treating the media very poorly. He just hasn't looked interested. He hasn't looked very interested on the court as well. So I think that does provoke a reaction. You know, I'm kind of scrambling my words together, but I hope that kind of makes some sort of sense for you to follow on and maybe give your opinion on the divide between the two issues. And that I think some criticism of his on-court performances are justified to a degree.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely spot on what you're trying to say. Like, we mentioned before that personal attacks on his family completely are unacceptable, but I do disagree with what he's saying, that they're all the kind of the same thing. No, like, Westbrook is obviously, it's not a term of endearment, and it's not derogatory, it's just insulting to him as a person. Like, he probably had, like, he's probably one of the biggest egos in all of the NBA. And I'd say him being called Westbrook and basically think people calling, like, not calling him a loser, but just saying that he's terrible, that's got to hurt him a lot. I think it's just bruising his ego. But to me, no, they're completely separate things. You can insult him by calling Westbrook. Again, it's not a nice thing to say, but it's not the worst in the world. I'm sure there's plenty of other terms that he would, that are 10 times worse. But yeah, for me, Russ is on the court. The displays have not been of the power we'd expect. He doesn't treat the media members with much respect either. He doesn't really work hard in terms of working with the likes of Phil Handy. It was came out that he wasn't willing to work with Phil Handy to get any better. He doesn't seem to respect the coaching staff in terms of they probably have a game plan and he just does his own thing. It's so bad that it looks like LeBron, he's lost LeBron and AD. Like, they're not even backing him up anymore. They were backing him up to the hilt throughout the season. Now that seems like that's just ended, and I think they're just done with him as well. So yeah, while his on the court display should be like they're open to criticism, and his Westbrook is, again, it's not a bad term. It's just, it's, to be honest, it's kind of funny. But no, I think he was wrong to kind of lump the two things in together, because at the end of the day, Westbrook is not a good term, but it's a bit of fun. He's still an MVP caliber player previously, has won an MVP previously. He has been, he holds the record for the triple doubles in the NBA. He's been a superstar for numerous years. He's made a ridiculous amount of money, and he's making even more money this year and next year. Again, you're open to criticism when you earn the amount of money. But again, as long as it's not family related, religion related, sexuality related, it should be open game to a certain extent. Like, it's from a person to person basis. But for me, Westbrook is not the worst term. And I think he needs to kind of grow up a little bit.
I think that, like, if you're going to a Lakers game, because Lakers games are expensive, you know, they cost a ton of money, and then the team don't care, and certain individuals don't care, they're not putting in the effort, which has been the case. I think you're going to get angry. You know, you're going to express your disappointment in that, which is understandable. And we've seen him and some other players biting back at fans. Obviously, if them fans, again, there's a line, if they've sent personal insults over, then I do understand the reaction. But if it's just in general, like saying, like, you're shit, you know, all of this, then I'll be honest, like, it's true. Like, he is playing shit, you know. He's had some good games recently, but, you know, over the course of the entire season. And I just think that, you know, the line, the tweet from Tom Zilla that came out with the Substack newsletter, I think nailed it, in my opinion. What Russell Westbrook appears to be asking for is praise in triumph and silence in defeat. And I think that's true. Like, he expects, when there's bad performances, for there just to be radio silence, for there to be nothing. He doesn't want criticism. But obviously, if I go to a job, if I'm like working my job and then I perform badly and then I get criticized, you know, I kind of, yeah, it can be frustrating, but you expect that criticism to a degree, don't you? Because you've not performed well in your job. So, you know, yeah, he's on the public stage, and obviously that can go so far where it can affect someone mentally. But just in terms of just general criticism, you know, his job is to play basketball, you know, and he's not doing that very well. That's what he does as a living. So if he's not doing that very well, what's the difference between, like, you and me not performing in our jobs and then getting pulled in for like a performance review and being criticized, things like that? Again, obviously it happens on the public stage. So I'm not like comparing the two. You know, I understand that, you know, if the whole world attacking you like publicly and on social media can be, I mean, I was going to say it's probably very difficult, but I can't imagine what that would be like, because I haven't been through that. It must be very stressful. But I think it's unreasonable to expect no criticism at all.
No, Tom Zilla is completely that. I think his assessment is 100% spot on. Like, Russ is expecting to live at this moment in time by different rules to other people. Like you mentioned, in day-to-day life, if you're not doing well at your job, and if you're openly not doing well at your job and openly not caring about your job, and putting forth a substandard effort, your boss,
and still taking the money,
Yeah, absolutely. Your boss is going to say to you, your effort needs to improve. It's not good enough at this moment in time. Russ should be held under the exact same standard. Again, I understand from a mental health point of view, like he cannot, this amount of hate and vitriol is going his way, regardless of whether it's kind of personal attacks or just attacks in this game. I can understand that's going to cause detriment to his mental health. And again, I don't condone any people kind of targeting him in such a way that would cause for his mental health to deteriorate. But again, people are well within their right to critique his game. And if he's not willing to put in the effort or get better or to do anything to improve, he is going to be open for criticism. And while that's very unfortunate that he has to deal with the mental health aspects of it as well. If he's dealing with it that badly, I personally believe he should just say, listen, I need to take time away. I need to focus on myself. I'm not in a good space mentally. And I think
which
the Lakers
would be fine, by the way. I think that would be would be accepted if he was to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the Lakers are an organization who, especially after Kobe's death, have shown that like they realized that the players were going through an awful lot of that period of time. They gave them the time and they got grief counseling in there and they got numerous people to come in and speak to them and to kind of look after them. I think if Russ came out and said, listen, I'm dealing with stuff mentally, I need to take a step back, the Lakers would understand. Fans of the Lakers, true fans of the Lakers would understand, and they would allow Russ that time to get himself better. I think at this moment in time, he is open to criticism. And while it's unfortunate for him in terms of having to hear about it, if you're just a normal employee and if you're just earning like a minimum wage and you're not putting forth good effort, you are going to hear about it. And unfortunately for us, the Lakers Nation and the NBA kind of sphere is huge and they're pointed and they have a strong opinions. Russ just, rightfully so to a certain extent, doesn't appreciate it. But again, doesn't mean that you're not exempt from criticism.
Yeah, I think like obviously the whole team's being criticized. You know, it's not just him that's being criticized. You know, there was Trevor Ariza was getting heavily criticized when he bit back at fans. Even LeBron bit back at fans because he was being heavily criticized. So it's not just Westbrook. But one thing I have spotted with Westbrook is when he has played extremely poorly and then he's gone into the media press conferences afterwards, there's just been a lack of accountability. You know, it's been very, very rare that he's actually held up his hands and said, you know, my bad, yes, I'm performing really bad at the moment. You know, I will do this to get better. I will adapt. We haven't really seen any adaptability on the court either. His attitude's been really poor. His body language publicly, in media press conferences and on the court has just been really poor. There's how many times have you seen him kind of where someone's like recorded a sequence and they've just followed Russ and then it looks like your 2K controller's died and he's just kind of just stopped and he's not really involved in the play at all. You know, he's just kind of walking around. So I think that just rubs off in a certain way. He just doesn't look like he cares. And I think his attitude to me is what rubs me up the wrong way. So when I hear that, again, there's a line, criticism can go too far. But when I hear like the little like ounce of criticism that he just doesn't accept. And, you know, the thing is, criticism can make someone better. You know, me and you have spoken before, you know, that in sports, you know, especially like football, you know, a team can play very poorly. They can get criticized and booed off by their fans. And then the next game that can light a fire. Do you know what I mean? That can really, because criticism can be justified, you know, from time to time. And obviously the team's playing really bad. So the fans are going to react in a way, but I haven't even seen that. Like I haven't seen him being like, oh, I don't want to receive this criticism. This has pissed me off. Right. I'm going to hold myself accountable. I'm going to try hard. I'm going to adapt so I don't receive any more criticism, you know? And I think the way he spoke out and things like that, I think with them kind of major trolls, you know, the people that do cross the line, if anything, I think more people are probably going to call him Westbrook now because they see that it bugs him that bad. So I think like the comments that he made, whilst it is extremely important to express yourself, I think could backfire as well and kind of make this situation a whole lot worse, which is worrying, you know, from a human standpoint, that is worrying. It's a whole mesh of things. It's crazy.
No, you're absolutely spot on. And again, I think Russ speaks mostly on pure emotion by the sounds of things. Like if you listen to him talk, I don't think he's the type of guy who sits back, thinks about what he's going to say and then responds. I think he's for love or hate him, he's a heart in his sleeve kind of guy. He says what he thinks and he means what he says.
Yeah. He's just a reactive type of guy. He's the same on the court as well, isn't he? Like he just does what is in his mind at that moment in time. And then that's where you see him like chucking the ball out of bounds or giving away dumb turnovers and things like that.
Yeah, I think Russ is the type of player who his brain is going so quickly that his body might not be able to catch up with him. Like he plays that frantic. But the thing is, Lakers Nation would be in Russ's corner more if he just showed more effort. He has heart. I will say he has heart. But if he showed more effort on the court, the Lakers Nation have loved so many players throughout the years. Like I can just mention like a few off the top of my head, like Jordan Farmer, Sasha Vucic, Shannon Brown, Lamar Odom. Again, these guys were not like all NBA caliber players, but they gave effort and they put their heart and soul. Like Alex Crusoe is another one. They gave their heart and soul for the team and we appreciated it. Again, like obviously Russ was an MVP caliber player. And he's not now. But if Russ is putting forth effort, Lakers Nation would appreciate it. But he's not even giving us that. He just has such a bad attitude that it's hard to be in his corner. And again, I am still in Russ's corner. For better or for worse, he's a Laker. And like we support our own and through thick and thin. But we don't have to be happy about the way he's doing things. We don't have to be happy about how he's kind of turned the ball over at an alarming rate. We don't have to be happy that when some of the things he does are so fixable, but it's just he does not show a willingness to change what he's trying to do. Like it's annoying at this stage. But hopefully Russ gets better. Hopefully his mental stability gets better. Hopefully the criticism towards him dies down, but I don't think it will. It just seems like he's opened the floodgates to even more criticism and people are going to criticize. And while I disagree with people doing that, I understand that there is just a lot of anger towards him at this moment in time for him not caring as much as he should.
Yeah, exactly. And I think we both said what we want to say on that. And we are going to move on because it is a very dark topic. Like I said, the day after when I was reading all them headlines, I didn't post a lot. Because I run Lakers UK and normally I have like a lot of posts after games, kind of reactions and that. And I just didn't post for about half a day just because it was just not a great day. It was a very dark day around very dark topics. So, yeah, I think we've said enough on that. And we're just going to move on to the final topic of this episode, which Jonathan knows is my forte. You know, I love breaking down younger players. I like watching the progress of younger players, specifically in the G League. You know, this is my thing. This is Jonathan's thing as well, to a degree. Obviously, he does a lot. You know, he's much more turned on in the wider NBA than I am. But I love the G League. So this is going to be a very, very interesting conversation. So when you said, and I'm just going to quick fire a question over to you, when you said that there were certain players that weren't being given opportunities, you know, there's a lack of effort in the team, there's a lack of passion. You said that there are players on the sidelines that can provide that, but they're not being given opportunities. Earlier in the episode, we said we were going to come back to it. We're coming back to it. Please, can you elaborate?
Yeah, the guy I really want to focus on, particularly like he's a two-way guy, is Wenyen Gabriel. Like when he was playing for the Portland Trailblazers in the bubble, he was bawling out. Like he looked like a legitimate guy, like a legitimate player who deserves to be in the rotation. And obviously things haven't gone the way he would have liked at this moment in time. But I think he is deserving of an opportunity. He's the player like the Lakers have been searching for. He's a wing who's 6'9". He can guard multiple positions. He can potentially, but he's not the best three-point shooter in the world, but he's a capable one. If I could think about him, I think when I look at him, he reminds me of like a poor man's Jeremy Grant. Like he can guard numerous positions and like fairly well. He can shoot the ball. He can score inside and out. Like, and I just love to see him get more time because when he's on the floor, and especially against the Rockets, like he was for a brief period of time, he put forth effort and it looked really good when he was there. And I just want to see players like him get rewarded rather than veterans who don't seem to be showing up on a game-to-game basis. Let the younger guys try out and work hard. And I guarantee you, the more that you play the young guys alongside the likes of LeBron and Nick Monk and stuff like that, they will get better for the sheer fact that there'll be more, when more effort is being put forth, there's a better chance of winning games. But yeah, who from like the G League or whether it be a two-way contract or just a G League player, would you like to see kind of get more game time with the Lakers?
Well, I do want to continue the Wenyen Gabriel discussion because obviously he falls firmly in that realm. And I think one thing which is difficult is, right, and is that like the Lakers lack passion, okay? They lack energy, okay? They lack size. They need someone to go out there and bring the energy and grab boards, play defense. I was going to say it's not that hard, but obviously it is a difficult task in the NBA. Wenyen Gabriel can do that. So I had someone on, because I always bang on about G League players on Twitter. And then someone came back and said, yeah, but we're talking about the top eight rotation here. Like, why focus on a player like that? Well, the thing is to me, the top eight rotation is the problem. You know, it's the veterans on the team that are the problem because they're the ones that are underperforming. So why not bring in a hungry young player like Reeves and Stanley Johnson have done and bring the energy that we need, bring the passion that we need? You know, you're talking about Gabriel against the Rockets. He played 2 minutes in the entire game, and that came at the end of the third. And he had a couple of offensive rebounds. I'm not sure if one of them was actually counted as an offensive rebound, but he really made it difficult on the boards for the Rockets. And he played very well in like the couple of minutes. You know, he was a positive plus minus, you know, and the Lakers actually took the lead, you know, in the couple of sequences that he was in the game. So why not continue playing him like to start the fourth? You know what I mean? Because you can go with your veteran lineup for the back end of the fourth to try and close out the game. But the momentum was there. So why not stick with that lineup and stick with him? Yet we didn't see him again. And against the Spurs, he didn't play. So if the Lakers' energy, passion, size, the Lakers love going small. So obviously someone like Wenyen Gabriel's like perfect for that, you know, because he's big body, but he's not, you know, 7 feet. So he's perfect if you want to go small, play him at the center position. Especially again, and this is what bugs me the most. When you're playing the Spurs and the Rockets, especially the Rockets, are they not the games to play two-way players? Because these two-way slots are literally free roster spots. There's a big body there that can do something. You know, if you're not going to play him in games like that, when are you ever going to play them? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, like it's ridiculous. Like, there's so
this
many.
This is all aimed at Vogel, by the way. Like, yeah. It's a bizarre coaching decision.
I think Vogel seems like a coach who is trying not to save his job, but to justify another position down the road. I don't think his thought process is probably experienced players might help me finish out games, whereas youth might not be able to do much. Like I don't think Vogel has showed much, what's the word I'm looking for? He hasn't shown much trust in the youth movement this entire Lakers career. He's sporadically given THT minutes. Alex Caruso was obviously like a bit of a veteran by the time Vogel got to him. But yeah, he just doesn't seem willing to give youth a chance. I think that's something that flies in the face of what the Lakers are about. Like we had Lonzo, we had Randle, we had Ingram, we had all these guys. Again, we gave youth a chance, and to a certain extent it paid off. Like they gave us good effort, but again, I just don't think he's willing to give youth a chance, and that's his own fault. I don't think he has a game plan going forward. I think he just wants to go with his veteran players like he did in Indiana. He focused on veterans heavily. He never really focused on youth. I just think it's a kind of a slap into the face of all the guys like Stanley Johnson, Wenyen Gabriel, Austin Reeves. It's a slap in the face to them because I guarantee you they're working their asses off and they're getting some minutes, but not enough. That more than they should be getting more than what they're currently getting.
Yeah, I mean, Austin Reeves has only just started actually full on breaking in to like heavy minutes, and he's got a starting lineup position, and it should have been like that quite early on in the season. He's only just got it, so he's obviously one of the success stories in that regard, that has effectively not given Vogel a choice but to do that. But I think for me as well, we need energy, we need passion. Obviously, there's a lack of experience, which, you know, can be said about these two-way players. But Mason Jones is leading the G League in scoring. He's played in the NBA before. He's dropped 20 points in the NBA before, and he wouldn't need to come in and do that. But in a game against the Spurs where there was no LeBron, there was no Anthony Davis, you know, would it not be the time to give someone like that a little bit of a shot? You know, because he's out there. Well, he's not out there. He's down in the G League, obviously, albeit at a completely different level, averaging incredible splits of 26 points, nearly 8 rebounds, 6 assists, nearly 2 steals per game, while shooting 50% from the floor. You know, that's incredible production. He's leading the G League. And I think a lot of it does come down to experience, because you see Isaiah Thomas, he lights up the G League, gets a call up. You know, you see like Nick Stauskas lights up the G League, gets a call up. You know, Mystic Matt here is going to say that Quinn Cook will be the next player that will do the same because he's doing well with the Stockton Kings and he'll receive a call up. They've already played in the NBA, I get that. So Mason Jones should be getting a call up. You know, he's leading the G League in many statistical categories. He's on the Lakers books. Why not try and retain some of that talent and try and develop some of that talent as we look forward a little bit? You know, that's what I don't understand, especially in games against the Spurs and Rockets. Because again, if they're not the games, when are the games to do something like that and experiment a little bit and give players a chance and to try and get some goddamn players in that give a shit, you know?
No, I completely agree with you. But I think the thing that probably goes against Mason Jones the most is that the Lakers have a lot of players that can play the shooting guard position. I think they have THT, they have Malik Monk, they have Wayne Ellington, they have Kent Bazemore, they have, like, they've just, it's...
You can get rid of the last two. You can get rid of the last
100%, 100%.
irrelevant. Get rid of them. Give Mason Jones a chance.
If he played any other position other than shooting guard, I think it would be like a no-brainer for him to come up. Like if he played point guard or small forward, he can play a little bit small forward, but again, he's a bit undersized at 6'4".
Do you want me to throw something in then? If that's the case, how come Jay Huff, who's leading the G League in blocks and has put up great performances lately, you know, last night at the time of recording, had 24 points in 24 minutes. The Lakers need size. He's a 7'1" stretch big. Spurs, Rockets.
No, like Jay, again, yeah, there's so many players on the G League roster. Like we've mentioned a few, like there's Mac McClung, there's Mason Jones, Jay Huff, Chandae Brown Jr. to a lesser extent, and then like Jamario Jones and Tremont Waters. Like there's a bunch of guys who have like legitimate talent. Like I believe each of the people I named there have the potential to be on an NBA roster. But the one thing they have that a lot of people on the Lakers roster don't have is hunger. They are chasing their dream. They want to get to the NBA. They want to wear a Lakers jersey. And that is, I don't think people realize how important that is. They are chasing their dreams. They could go to Europe and make significantly more money than they are currently in the G. Yep. But they're not. They're just saying, no, I'm chasing my dream of wanting to play in the best league in the entire world. Use that exuberance, use that kind of like willing to give a shit and bring a few of these guys up, because there's so many players currently on the Lakers roster who just don't give a shit. And like, I guarantee you, yeah. You bring in a guy like Jay Huff, I'm not saying he's going to set the world alight, but I think he...
No, but just limited minutes. Couple of minutes just where they need like a bit of size, and it can be literally 10 minutes. Doesn't matter. Give him a chance.
You'll see someone who gives a shit. And give really
another chance.
Yeah. You'll see someone who just gives a shit. And at the end of the day, if you're playing him in garbage time, it's not at your detriment. If it's in garbage time in a losing game, give them the minutes, allow them to play, allow them to try. The worst case scenario is they play terrible and you send them back down. Best case scenario is in them limited minutes, they show like real promise and potentially give them more minutes going forward. But it just seems that Vogel is not that coach. He's not that guy. He just does not want to give youth much of a chance. He wants to focus on his experience. He wants to focus on his older players. And that's going to be to his detriment. I hope personally that whoever the next coach is, like, there is talent on that G League roster. I hope some of them, especially maybe in Summer League or in the kind of the training camp, are given an opportunity to fight for a roster spot, because they are, like, I think some of them people down there, especially like some Mason Jones and maybe Mac McClung, are deserving of an opportunity, deserving to try their hardest to make their NBA dream come true, because they do show some real talent. And that South Bay roster is stacked, legitimately stacked. So like top to bottom has great young players. They deserve a chance.
I think also as well, when you look at like what the Miami Heat have done, like they're contenders, they've stayed contenders, they've gone down to the G League, they've kind of cherry picked the best talent. And, you know, the likes of Duncan Robinson, you know, came from the G League and they gave him a chance. So, you know, you couldn't have legitimate difference makers in the NBA from going down and cherry picking in the G League. And it just so happens that the Lakers have a lot of the top talent in the G League on their own affiliate roster. You know, shout out to Paris Bass as well. He's been playing extremely well. But as before we wrap up here, why are you going to agree with me that Mac McClung should be the next player that should be called up and that the Lakers should sign into a multi-year deal? Because you're going to agree with me, right?
Yeah. Well, I think Mac, if he was to join up with this Lakers squad, would be maybe my third shooting guard or maybe my third point guard, depending. Like he's a bit of a combo guard. Like he can do a bit of everything. But
this is fine.
Yeah. I think you can't do much worse than that. Like say, for example, going into next season, we let the likes of Kent Bazemore go, we let Wayne Ellington go, we let kind of all of the veterans like Dion Waiters.
Would you keep Augustine though?
I think Augustine is a perfect third point guard. I think he's ideal to be like if I had my way, we'd have a new starting point guard. We'd hope Kendrick Nunn, because of his injury, kind of gives Lakers another chance and says, right, I'll come back next year. He'll be your second point guard off the bench. And then you have like a really experienced guy in DJ Augustine come off in third spot. But for me, yeah, absolutely. Mac is more than talented enough to be a third shooting guard in the rotation or the third shooting guard on the bench. Like he has enough talent to warrant that kind of like you said, he's averaging this season 21.7 points, 7.9 assists, 6.7 rebounds for a 6'2 guy. That is like, for his height, he should not be averaging nearly 7 rebounds a game. But again, with Mac, he's got the talent. He's a very talented young player, but he gives a shit and he's putting forth effort. And I think even at the worst, having him at the end of the bench, pushing guys like, there's certain people in basketball who are like a spark plug. I'm not even saying a spark plug on the floor, but they light a fire underneath their teammates and their kind of effort is infectious. Mac seems like one of them guys who like his effort on the court is infectious. And I think that'll be like really benefit the Lakers having a third guard in the rotation like that, who can just like give a shit. Like as long as you give a shit, that's half the battle.
even if he's end of the bench, you can bring him in when there's an injury. You can bring him in when, because games change. So like there are some games where like I would expect him not to play, you know, especially when you're playing the big boys of the NBA. And then there are some teams like the Spurs and Rockets that I've banged on about where you could bring them in and he could do something. I think at the very minimum, he should be on a two-way contract, you know, and actually play the two-way players, you know, just emphasis on actually playing the two-way players. But I think you could just have him at the back end of the roster, a bit like what they did with THT, where he's on a multi-year deal. He's a very young player. They can send him, you can put him on assignments down in the G League, but then you can also bring him up and give him some minutes and things like that, which is similar to what happened with THT. So I think they should bring him in, give him a full roster spot, sign him up on a multi-year deal, maybe like a two-year deal or something, and just kind of ease him in, you know, over the next few seasons. I think he's a legitimate talent. I think it'd be very nice to have to see that the team care about the future. And, you know, they care about that they've got a legitimate young talent there, or young talents, because we've named a few of them. And they're actually trying to do their best to retain them, because he ended up getting called up by the Chicago Bulls and the Lakers very nearly lost him. You know, he actually ended up playing for the Windy City Bulls in G League. And I was thinking, oh God, like they've lost him. And then, you know, if he gets called up now, because he's not on a two-way deal, he could get called up and signed to a permanent contract in the NBA. And the Lakers have just lost him, a bit like Kyle Guy at the Miami Heat. So, yeah, I think they need to at least get him on a two-way contract just to try and keep. You can sign him to a two-year two-way contract just to try and retain that talent, you know, keep it safe. But I definitely think he deserves a shot. He just has it. He has the it factor. He has the fight. He has the passion. He can flat out ball, you know. I'm not even expecting him to come and make an impact, to be honest with you, but we can develop that, we can nurture that, we can work with that. If he makes an impact, great. If not, let's work with him until he can make an impact. Do you know what I mean?
No,
that's my argument with that.
No, I fully agree with you. And the thing we need to take into account, which the Lakers really should take into account, while you have LeBron James and Anthony Davis on max contracts on your roster, you are going to struggle for cash, because of that money is going towards them two guys, and especially with Russell Westbrook on the roster now, you're especially cash-strapped. So that's the reason why, like, when we found Stanley Johnson and Stanley Johnson was balling out a little bit, we signed him to a multi-year deal. When we saw that Austin Reeves was balling out in the early start of the season, we signed him to like a two-year deal. This is the Lakers' opportunity to get guys like Wenyen Gabriel, get guys like Mac McClung, get them in there at the end of the bench for next to nothing for multiple years. You literally control their future for multiple years, and you're paying them next to nothing. You're paying them next.
Put some team options on there. Like, it's literally... non-guaranteed salaries. There's nothing to lose.
Yeah, you have nothing to lose, and then you have additionally two extra two-way contracts. So if you assign Wenyen Gabriel to like a permanent contract, 1 or 2 years, or even like I've seen multiple ones where it's like a multi-year deal, could as much as 3 years, but obviously like partially guaranteed or non-guaranteed deals. Do that. If you don't like him, you can cut him for nothing and you lose no money. Sign him up now. You get him for a fraction of the veteran minimum, which is like exceptional. You, at the worst, you get a player that's like maybe just not good enough. But like I said, Wenyen Gabriel and Austin Reaves have shown already in the limited, especially with Wenyen Gabriel, has shown in a limited period of time that he is an NBA player. And Austin Reaves has more than shown that he's an NBA player. Like he's, I think, in his
ceiling. He's an NBA star, though.
Yeah, I'd say in the next year or so, he'll probably be a starter for either the Lakers or some team, because like it's he the effort level's there, the talent is there, the willing to give a shit's there. But it's staring the Lakers in the face. It genuinely is just staring the Lakers in the face. You're cash strapped. What do? Get young guys in. Get guys who give a shit in. You can put them at the end of the bench. They can be for every position. You can have Wenyen Gabriel as your third power forward. You can have Stanley Johnson as your third small forward. You can have like Mac McClung as your third shooting guard. At the end of the day, you have at least two other people ahead of them in the rotation at all times. But there are going to be young players, and the older players are going to feed off them, are going to want to try harder, and have to realize that these young guys are nipping at their heels and are hungry. That, like, there's very little downside. And again, they're cheap as hell. That's the best part. The Lakers can focus on different parts of the roster, building it up in different ways, and not have to worry about, like, giving these people, like, big contracts. They're not going to expect to get a big contract, and they'll be covered for multiple years. It doesn't, there's no downside to this for the Lakers.
Yeah, 100%. I agree. And I think we're going to wrap it up there. Very good discussion. Very varied discussion, obviously, that topic with Russ. And then we've got on to some of the younger players, which I do enjoy that discussion. So it's been a pleasure as always, Jonathan. To the listeners, I do just want to say that on the last episode, we did hint at a jersey giveaway. That didn't happen this week because I'm back home, as I said before. It's going to happen next week, just when I have a little bit more time to plan it and things like that. Jonathan's been helping with that as well. So, keep an eye out for that next week. But it is a LeBron James Black Mamba jersey, legitimate from NBA store. So you do want to get your hands on that. So, yeah, I mean, before we go, Jonathan, you got anything you want to add on?
One thing I'll add on, it's very quick. Shout out to the South Bay Lakers. Like, legitimately, shout out to the South Bay Lakers. Like, what they've been able to do with just a revolving door of talent coming in. Like, we named a number of players there earlier on. That is, like, tremendous level of talent. Like, some of these guys are the pinnacle of the best in the G League. Like, in terms of, like, whether it be points scored, whether it be rebounds, whether it be assists, whether it be blocks. Like, they've developed and they've put the Lakers, the South Bay Lakers, and the actual Los Angeles Lakers in the position, if they really wanted to go down and if they needed a player, there's quality players down there. So legitimately, shout out to the South Bay Lakers.
Yeah, definitely. I definitely echo those views. As always, mate, thanks for coming on. It's been a pleasure chatting with you. As I'm sure it's been a pleasure listening to you for the viewers. Well, viewers and listeners, obviously we have done streams in the past, so it's going to take a little bit of time for me to realize that you're all listeners and not viewers. But thank you so much for listening and checking out this episode of the Late Late Show podcast. Be sure to drop us a 5-star review and rating over at Apple Podcasts and on Spotify. It really does help the show grow, so we would appreciate that very much. And with that, this is another episode of the Late Late Show in the books. It's another week gone by. We'll be here next week as we continue to build the momentum. As always, guys, it's been a pleasure, and we will catch you next time.